Beautiful for the Kedushin, and we'll get all the Pratimim with that. Okay? If there's anything we miss or skip, you'll let me know that you think something's missing and then get to it. Okay. So let's start from the beginning. We got to where the Chasana is, right? And we spoke about who can be involved in it. So those are peripheral things. Now, the Chasana itself, right? How would you go about putting together a Chasana? What's the Seder HaDvarim? Okay, so basically, the first thing, and here again, it's different who you're dealing with. This is important to know. I mean, not all of these chalokim are going to be by every chasna that you deal with. Yeshiva shechasna is a one thing, right? You're not going to have a chasna tish with a chasna to say Torah if it's, you're talking about regular balabatim, where the chasna can learn to say hariyat mekudeshesli. So that's not an ikuv in the chasna either. But in any case, the things that are ma'akev, and what you usually have by a balabata shechasana, is first the tnoim. Okay. And that you should encourage balabatim, even though normally, by a regular, real balabata shechasana, they don't write tnoim, right? Especially on the day of the chasana, but it's kedai to have tnoim on the day of the chasana, only because, according to some, it's a kiyum of the din of mekadesh b'lo shiduchi. Right, which is a pritzis, the rest is Rabbi Shlomo Malkus, and an official tnoyim is the best way of being mekayim that halacha. Right, even though it's mamash on the day of the chasana, but it's mekadesh with shaduchi. Shaduchi is official shaduchim. Reb Moshe has a nusach for a tnoyim to be written for people today who don't sit and make monetary cheshbonus before the chasana. Most balabatish people don't have those kind of cheshbonus bechlal. Right, before chasana, except by the second marriage, but not by the first marriage. He has a nusach of tnoyim that basically says la'achar shehuskbu kol advarim, right? Ve'ein nishar ella she yovo the kesher nesuin b'yom ploni whatever b'mokum ploni, right? Onu bo'ala chasima. It's a very short nusach, something like that. That there's nothing left to discuss except the fact that they've agreed to get married on this day and it happens to be the same day that you're writing the tnoyim. The reason that it's better not to write tnoyim beforehand is because tnoyim have within them a klala and a cherim if you break it. And Rav Aaron, I know, used to hold that it's better to get married and get divorced than to break a tnoyim if you want to back out. And there were actual cases like that, where people were advised to get married, and the woman should be a grusha, who won't be able to marry a kohen anymore, but rather than breaking a tnoyim. So therefore, in the yeshiva shevel, for sure, the tminig is not to write tnoyim before the day of the chasana, to have a vort, without any hischaivus b'ksav, or even balpeh, because the truth is that tnoyim don't need a ksav. It's tehinein advar manikni b'amir. Okay, in any case, but it's kedai even by a balabata shechasna to write a tnoim. It gives them a chance to break a plate, which is, even they don't understand b'chalal what the whole inyan is, but it's a bit more ceremony, another chance for some other edim, somebody else to get involved in reading the tnoim if they can read, or what's it called, and the parents to get involved in breaking a plate. So that's the first thing. After the tnoim, how to make the husband write the tnoim itself. The tnoim you write is any shtar. In any shtar, the word v'kanina, you don't fill in until the kinyan has been made. The kinyan is, one of the edim takes a handkerchief, uses a handkerchief, it could be a pen, right? A lot of times people don't have handkerchiefs that they can use for kinyanim.
From the edim?
What?
From the edim.
Right, that's something to remember. If you're going to a chasana that you're going to be involved with, bring a handkerchief that you won't be embarrassed to use for a kinyan. Or that somebody else won't be disgusted with to use for a kinyan. Because it's an issa d'oraisa to give somebody a dirty handkerchief. It's a little balteshak.
It should be that from the edim, or the what used for kinyan, doesn't matter.
It should be the edim's thing, right? Or it could be the Masada Kedushin's thing. It shouldn't be the chosin's thing.
You write it in right before the reading.
You write it in right after the kinyan. The only reason you don't write it in before the kinyan is because it's mezik shikra. What? You write the tnoyim?
Right.
Yeah, you can write the tnoyim in your house 4 weeks before. But the word vikanina, you write in after they make the kinyan. Because it shouldn't be a sheker. You're saying vikanina and you never did it.
It's a pasul?
Huh? No, it's not possible. It's just mechzik shikra. It's not possible. So you write the vikanina, because the Adam didn't sign it yet. So all the things, they're signing on what after the kinyan will be. But Lamaisa, because you shouldn't have a shtar, it's mechzik a shikra, before you made the kinyan, that somebody can now fast sign it and it'll be a shaker, so it's not possible. So you write the vikonina after the maisa kinyan. The kinyan is, you take a kli, which is, again, is either a handkerchief, what's it called, which is sholosh or sholosh, which every handkerchief is like that, right? They don't need to carry around. The only thing that there would be the other size that shayach is a medika cloth or something like that, that people carry around, nobody carries around in their pocket. So it's not shayach, you have something that you can't make a kinyan with. If you don't have a handkerchief, use a pen. And the chosin is given, you can use the yarmulke too, but what are you going to put on your head? A hat. Okay. See, you can use the hat too. The aid should pick it up, make a kinyan on it, pick it up shlosha tfachim, above the ground and better above where the normal place of carrying is, and the chosin picks it up, and you have to explain to him what he's been mekabel kinyan on. So you don't have to read him the whole tnoim, right? With Moshe's time you could read the whole tnoim in the same time that you could explain it too, and explain to him just he's mekabel kinyan to get married that day. Okay, that shouldn't be a problem at that point. And that's it. And then the Edom have to see it. And whenever Edom have to see, they see it together, right? They should be watching together. Not one comes and watches, and then the other one is called over from eating the hors d'oeuvres, and he called over also to see it at a separate time. That's not Edis. Edis has to be Edis Miuchedis, where they both see it at the same time. And the Kenyan is Machayev him, right, to get married and to share his monetary wealth, Shava B'Shava, with his wife. That's usually what it says.
You explain it to them.
And to live like a Ben Torah.
You have to explain it to
them. That may be a problem with some people. Yeah.
Explain it to him ahead of time.
You should, before he's Makabal Kenyan, you should explain to him.
If they don't, if you don't explain it?
For the Tznoyim, Mishkefer. For the Ksub, there's a problem. He should know what it is, especially by real Balabata Shechayim. I'm talking about people who don't have too much idea what's going on, right? The people that you had to convince to make one tevila, right? So they may have no idea what's going on. They have no idea what they're signing next to, but they think that's all part of, you know, just the rigmarole of the marriage. And the guy has no idea that someday this woman may collect from him tremendous sums of money, a big shaila, whether that's a ksuba, the ksheira, and then all the time they're living together is like they're living without a ksuba. So that's choshev, that you should explain to him. You don't have to go through everything. You should explain to him, you know, it's a little not na'im to start telling him he's signing a thing that in case upon his death, or if they get divorced, right, you should take him over to the side and not say it in front of either of the mechutanim, because they'll think you're out of your mind. Why in the world are you talking about divorce? You're talking about death, the day of the chasana, right? But he has to know clear, that's what it is, right? That and the skum of money is choshev a skum. Right, it's not clear exactly what Mosayim Skukim Kesef is in our terms, but because Shaila whether it's a stama Skukim is just a cheshbon of silver, then it comes out to quite a few thousand dollars, or Mosayim Skukim is a cheshbon bechlal of what's it called, of what a person could live on for a year's salary, which then could be tens of thousands of dollars. What a ksuba is, it's minimum of a few thousand dollars. So it's a choshev amount. So the guy is really mechayev himself. So he should know what it is, okay? And that's enough. It's enough to tell him this shtar says that upon your death, or if you should divorce your wife, right, under certain circumstances, not all circumstances, she gets a ksuba, but in certain circumstances, right, you're obligating yourself to a considerable amount of money that could be in thousands of dollars. Okay, and that's what you're makabel kinyan on. That's enough for him to know. You don't have to go through mamash everywhere.
What's the difference between the ktuba and the tnaim?
The tnaim has nothing really to do with the marriage itself. The tnaim is only his chayvus to get married. Normally the tnaim was his chayvus of momentous that each one agreed on to bring into the chasana. Right? The husband agrees, the tzad hachasin agrees that they're going to give the couple X and X amount of money, and the kala is going to bring this with her and that with her, and the father's going to provide her with clothing or with this, with that, whatever. And it was mamash put down. The ksuba is between the husband and the wife. Now, la'asid. Not for them, but for in case the husband will die or he'll divorce her, it won't be hard to die, but it'll be hard to divorce her at least.
What's the importance of making nine if they didn't make it before the chasmid? Oh. The day of the chasmid, if you had the ksuba, it's not...
Right, no. The purpose of the tznoyim is that the marriage shouldn't be without a formal engagement beforehand. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to mekadesh nisha below shiduchim. The shayla is what shiduchin is, right? But some hold the shiduchin has to be mamash, a formal engagement, b'ksav. So if that's the case, the best thing is to write it tonight. So then you have a formal engagement, b'ksav. That's all it is. So it doesn't say when that a formal engagement could be. Right? Theoretically, people could meet and get married that day. Right, so you know, theoretically, you can't do that because of you need you may shiva nekiyim. But in any case, the what's it called, the theoretically a person get married, right? To make at least a chuppas nida on the day that he gets married. So the shiduchim has to be right before that. So it could be that an hour before the chasna. That's the purpose of a tanoim. That kind of tanoim. The purpose of other kinds of tanoim is more latachlis. But it depends if you're in those communities that write such things. There are people today, in the Hasidish world for sure, right? Tznoyim or Tznoyim. They're written a few months before and they're very chashuv documents, right? They include a lot of money on both sides. And according by some, that's more important than the Chasana. The Chasana is only a Hechitim to write a Tznoyim. The yeah.
Why does the Eid have to be
Koinic? The Chasana.
The eight.
No, it should be the eighth thing because they're the ones who are giving the thing to the chosn makabel kinyan, so they have to have rishus to give it to him that he should be able to be kohen.
Could be the
Sarek Kedushin still. Yeah, or it could be somebody who gives something to the eighth. But if they're giving it over to him to be kohen, right? The kinyan sudar is he has a something that was somebody else's. Now he has a rishus to be kohen. So if you borrow something from somebody else and they didn't give you rishus to give it over to somebody else, he has no rishus to be kohen. It's not a kinyan sudar. Yeah, Sarek Kedushin is don't think to.
What about Ksuba, problem with the Tosefta?
We'll get to the Ksuba yet. We'll get to the Ksuba. Okay. That is what's it called, the Tanoim.
When is the best to do this?
The best to do this, in enough time, whatever. They usually make a chas and a Kabbalah spawn him like an hour before the chuppah, to do it like a half an hour before the chuppah. So when you finish this, either you can do one or two things. You can have Marav, Mincha, Shachris, whatever the time of the Chasana was. Or you can, go right away to the Badek. It doesn't leave too much time in between. Okay, it's like we're already starting the Chasana rolling by starting this. Right, you have enough time for people to come. So it's like a half an hour, 15 to 20 minutes before the actual time for the Chuppah.
How do you explain the
Kenyan
to
the Fossi? The Kenyan? You tell him that this is a symbolic act, that by doing this, he's obligating himself to whatever the star is that they're signing.
If I sign, it's already enough.
What? No, he won't tell him religiously, this is what has to be done. Unless you pick it up, right, it's not you're not obligated legally. It's a legal obligation. When the witnesses see you pick this up, you're receiving. You don't have to explain to him how the Kenyan works, right? They go through a whole shir and Kenyan, and all you have to do is tell him is, when you do this, you become legally obligated. They can take you to court. Because the witnesses will say that they saw you legally obligate yourself.
So the witnesses also have to sign on the
Tzayim? The witnesses sign the Tzayim, yeah. Shaila, if anybody else signs on the Tzayim. Some people, the Chosin signs on the Tzayim too. What's it called? Some people by the Ksuba, the Chosin signs on the Ksuba also as a Hodah. But the Dachtach, our meaning is that the Chosin does not sign the Ksuba. Only they.
Sign in English, no
problem. Well, yeah, and this, yeah, they can sign in English too. I mean, halacha lemaisa, even on a ksuba they could sign in English. But usually you pick people who can sign the name of Lashon HaKodesh. In a ksuba.
They have the same qualifications for the Edom and the Tanoim as for...
Yeah, the Chathila, yes.
Chathila, but it's more mekel for the Edom?
Again, I would very, very much hesitate to use anybody as an aid who's posel aedis, okay, or even a suffic posel aedis, even worse if he's suffic. Right, if he's clearly postulatus, right, I would be more comfortable to use him in a place where you don't really need starke edis than a sophic, because somebody's going to take that tanoim and learn from that this guy's kosher. So I would use kosher edim.
Can you use the same edim?
Yeah, you can use this. In fact, some people are makbet to use the same edim for everything. Tanoim, ksuba, yichud, edik, kedushin.
So the
Kenyan
is the
Chosin,
like a
Kenyan.
What?
He's Makabal Achrayas.
Should he make the Kenyan from the Sada he's being magnet to? Should it sort of belong to the Sada of the Kala?
No, Lav Dafka, because what's it called? Lav Dafka. Lav Dafka. Because it's not. I mean, the each. No. It's Kenyan. This Kenyan Sudar is not a Kabbalist Kenyan from anybody. Right? Yeah, by picking up the thing of the aid, it's a simen of gemiras das. That's all. It's not regular. It's like halipin. It's not that kasher. No. It's a different thing. No. Yeah, but you're not selling the chametz to the rav either. You're giving the rav a reshus to be your shliach. It's just that that shows gemiras das on the shlichus. You're not selling your chametz to the rav.
Well, why not?
No, that's not the way it works. You'd have to make a separate ma'aseh kinyan on the chametz, really, and speak it out. What you're doing is you're giving your marsha the rav to be your shliach, except it's a shlichus with a kinyan. The kinyan is just mechazik the inyan. It's not regular kinyan.
If you don't like the kinyan, it's still shlichus.
What?
It's not. You don't need kinyan for shlichus.
No, but it's mechazik the shlichus. Since it's only dvarim, right?
It's the same thing over here.
Right. It's not the same thing. It shouldn't be dvarim bialma. You make a kinyan to be mechazik with a ma'aser. That's the inyan, the kinyan here. It's not the regular kinyan like halipin. Uh-huh. Nothing to do with that. This is just a ma'aser to show gemiras das, more than just a meal. That's what this kind of kinyan, so there's only that.
It seems in a certain congregation, so they work a lot for the Rosh Hashanah on eating.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. If you know that you're going to be in a place where it's very shayach, that there's not going to be kosher Eidim, you have to bring your own Eidim. And then you have to make sure that people know that Lechora, unless these people, you know, want to go to a chasana or whatever, they should either know that they're invited to the chasana also, right? If the Eidim are interested in that, and you should tell the people that they're coming, it shouldn't be Gazalonim also, and then be Posle, this at least they have Lachra. And also, or that they should be paid for their time, right? They have to bring witnesses, and if they say, well, we can supply witnesses, you have to tell them that we can't. They have to be certain, they have to have certain religious requirements, and you can't provide people with those requirements. Okay. The next thing is the Badekin. The purpose of the Badekin is twofold, really. It's first of all to give a chance, threefold. The smallest time, let's start with the time that's brought down, and that is that you should cover the Kala's face. So when it comes time to getting the Tabas HaKadushin, she's Klor, not Makbid, whatever it is. In other words, whatever it is, she accepts. For her eyes, she's not even interested in seeing what it is. So he could have been giving her something that he, no, he showed her one ring, but he decided to hold on to that and sell it, you know, and he's giving her a cheaper ring. So even if she knew what it was beforehand, she doesn't know exactly what she's getting b'shas ma'isa, right? Because her face is covered. So it's a hochacha, it's like a hodah, that she doesn't care what the ring is. As long as the shavu pruta, she's mekudeshet. Okay?
But you don't show her the ring, though.
Huh?
But you don't show her the ring, then.
Yeah, you can show it beforehand. Right, no, but b'shas ma'isa, the kedushin, you don't. Right. No, b'shas ma'isa, the kedushin, you don't show the kalim.
I'm saying b'shas ma'isa, you have been decades.
No, but that you cover her face, that when they go to the chuppah, it should be covered. So really, you don't have to do it beforehand. You can do it mamash b'shas the thing, but that's the minig. The minig is to get her started on the way down, right? So it's covered all the whole way. Yeah.
So the veil should be very thick so she can't see through.
According to this reason, yeah.
That's
right. But the Elizabeth should think it's enough that you see that it's she can't be medactic and right, let's put it this way. An appraiser doesn't wear a veil even like that. So once you have something on, right, it's a sim in the ray, you're not so medactic in what you're seeing, right? If you see it through holes of a veil, right, and you really care what's there, you're gonna pick up the veil, take a look, or maybe bring one of those little magnifying glasses. That's one time. A second time, yeah.
Could you just explain? So there's no shayla, what's it called?
Of kpeda, that she's makbid on how much the ring is, and therefore it's called mekachtos.
Or
it's called, right, it's, in other words, what's it called? There's no gemiras das on the kedushin, right, because...
But if she saw the ring before,
it's
and
no, smichas das,
they the switched the ring.
She's not so mechas das.
She saw a ring before, and then they saw a different ring afterwards, even though she didn't see it at the time of the...
Yeah, but since b'shas matan kedushin, he said b'tabazu. That's why we say b'tabazu. Right, why do you say b'tabazu? What other one? Right, but that's it. It's this one, and not any other one you could have possibly thought of.
You mean, according to that, even if you switch the ring...
It should be okay.
What did you do? You show me Kedushia, you show me the Shad, and maybe now you can resist it.
Right.
So we don't get it.
Pashas, it wouldn't be a problem. He said, Beferish, B'tabazu. Right. I showed you before. You'll learn to live with me.
You never know your...
That's right. I don't know the ma'isa, what would be in that kind of case. If the guy said, I'm telling you right now, this is the ring that you're going to be kudeshes with, and she really was so much das on that, and then he switched the ring, I don't know the ma'isa, what would be the ma'isa. But since he said b'tabazu, it's very sporadic that unless there were mamash eidim b'shas ma'isa, and he told her, look, he says, you know, and she was only makabel of that, and then later on he switched it, that could be a problem. Okay, now, the next thing is the, okay, the Badekin, but really the truth is you write the Ksuba before the Badekin. Let's go to the Badekin, so in the middle of it. The second reason for a Badekin is that the Chassan should see before they go down to the Chuppah, since the minig is that she should have a veil on by the Chuppah to make sure that the one who's going down to the Chuppah is the one he wants to get married to. That it's a little bit worse finding out that the ring was changed to find out the collar was changed. And that's back to Lavan and Yaakov Avinu, and that's why the bracha that you give the father of the Kala and the father of the Chosin gives the father of the Kala gives his daughter a bracha, what's it called, and the people standing there answer Amen or say the bracha to Achoseinu Atayi Le'alfei Revava Ve'yirshu Ve'yira Zari Chishar Sonov. That's Oivav or Sonov, I don't remember. Okay, whatever it's the pasuk in the Torah, you can look it up. What's it called? That bracha is the bracha that they gave to Rivka.
So why do you pull down the veil so that you?
Well, no. So you first pick it up to make sure it's the kala. Then you pull it down. But the badekin therefore serves the purpose not only of pulling down the veil, but to give one last look to the chassan to know that the kala is walking down is the one that he's marrying. It also gives a chance for the edim to makar the kala too. They should have seen the kala. We paskin that the edim don't have to know the kala personally, but they have to at least be able to makar her, that they, if they saw her again, they'd be able to say, well, this is the woman that we saw the marriage. So the Adam should be there. The Adam Kedushin should be there.
But according to this reason, there isn't any necessity to have the face covered during the Chuppah.
According to this reason, no. No.
She's covered?
Well, only
the
time.
There, and then he
no, he, pick, no, he picks it up. He makes sure he's there before they cover, and then he covers her. Covers
but she's not covered before him.
No.
He just comes and
puts the veil down.
If the Eid of Kedushim aren't there?
If they aren't there, then at least I should get a look at the Kala before the
before the
Kedushim.
According to this reason, so what is the purpose of the veil?
According to this reason, the purpose, no, it has nothing to do with the purpose of the veil. This is the purpose of seeing her at least once before she's the veil.
What is the purpose of the veil?
Right. The third reason, what was the third reason? But that's not what I was thinking of. That's another reason. What's it called? That the veil itself is the chuppah, but it's not really it's not chuppah at this point. But having the veil is an Indian of chuppah. The yotze b'hinuma, and the hinuma itself is the chuppah later. But in any case, I don't remember it. It'll hit me.
Then it should belong to the chassan.
The what? The veil.
The veil.
Like Poros Taliso Aleha. Yeah.
Oh,
I never saw such a Kpeda, Bechlau. But the truth is, we're not knowing that's Chuppah Bechlau. Right? The most that's close to that some people have is the Talis that they put. I think Yekis, put the Talis. Mm-hmm. And that's a Dinah Chuppah. But Kimat, I mean, it's brought out of Meister. There is such a Shita, but I don't think we're knowing to be Machsh of that Laloch. Okay, in any case, so that's the Badekin. Then there's what's it called, before that is the Ksivas HaKsuba. Okay, in the Ksuba, this is the Iker that a person could really make a toast in, yeah?
What if the Kal doesn't come dressed with the veil?
She doesn't have a veil with Kal?
She just wears a regular dress, very informal.
And she's not going to want to put a dish towel over her head. No. And then you can forget about the Badekin and forget about the veil.
It's not
makiv at all, and even out minig, if it's what's it called, if there's no way of doing it tactfully, you know, you have to put some kind of shmat on her head or whatever, I wouldn't even bother. It's not makiv at all.
You didn't forget to bring the ring. What
it's a problem. Then there are different eitzes what to do. I remember one chasana was at Yeshiva Shechasana, where the mother-in-law was makna her ring to the chassan, and the chassan gave that ring. But that has to be mamash bifnei edim with a kinyan gomer. Okay, not matan alas lahachzer, not where she knows she'll get it back. It has to be made clear to her that if the chassan wants, he can keep the ring. It's mamash his ring.
That
Shayla, yeah, if it's a Shayla also, with, but has the Shayla also have to make a kinyan, right? Yeah, but Shaila is not Matan Amas Lahasar.
Yeah, she knows she's getting it back.
Yeah, but it's not Matan Amas Lahasar. So it's better to be Makne Mamish Kinyin Gomer. That's what we do. So there shouldn't be any shilas.
Wouldn't it be better to take something which was worth less money, like... You could use anything,
no yeah, but that's a mini Yisrael already to Makash with Tabas.
Really?
Yeah.
It might be another thing to the ring.
Because it could be that, yeah, I don't know if you will go ring every time.
You hope never use it too often.
Once the word gets out, you know.
When Shabbat comes to the Shabbat,
he
rings a ring?
Along
with ring and an extra word to know
that Eidim. Now that for sure, you bring an extra ksuba for sure you should bring. Eidim, you should know. For the ring, Taka, I never heard of anybody bringing a ring. It could be Taka.
We fight barely on the road.
Huh?
You'll see there's something wrong with
it. A ksuba I have over here, you should bring two. That's for sure. I've had cases where two were possible for various reasons. I had to end up writing a ksuba. Mamish b'ksav yad, the whole thing. Because that or postponing the chasna for how long to get a ksuba from someplace. The ksuba, I'm not going to go into all the halachas of writing names, but you should know that there's this inyan of how to write a name, what the name is, right? And if you write the wrong name or you spell it wrong, it's a problem. So before the chasna, you should have, first of all, what you should do is, in any shtar, okay, you should write down, you have a separate piece of paper, and write down all the names first, and make sure you have them right. Make the aidim write down their names before they sign on the ksuba. Never let an aid sign on the ksuba. The ksuba for sure. Never let an aide sign the ksuba just like this. First tell him to sign his name on a separate piece of paper so you can look at it and make sure that that's what he should be signing, right? That he doesn't have some crazy idea what he's supposed to be writing on this thing. You know, good luck, best wishes, whatever. You know, you can never tell what you laugh. He knows where he's writing his name, right? And if he doesn't know how to write his name, I always had a shaila if somebody spells his name wrong, right? His name is Shmuel. He spells it with an ayin, right? That's the way he always wrote it. That's what he thought, right? Or he doesn't know how to write too well. The Beloshon HaKodesh. So, for sure, the Besadr Kedushin can't sign the guy's name with him, help him write it, because that's not his signature. L'chor, he has to write it the way he normally writes it. That's his name. That's how he signs his name. L'chor, I'm not 100% sure about that.
Some people, we had a situation where her name is Yechezkel, and they don't write the Yud, or Yahushua, something like that, so they wrote with a dash.
Right.
And they were going to write it on the thing, so the Rebbe was like, before he let him sign, he was like, wait a minute, is this how you always sign your
name? Right, exactly. It's not so poshut. It's poshut, so the guy makes a mistake in signing, and nobody writes like that. It's not that, you know, he just thought that's the way he's supposed to write. He never signs his name, Kimat, in Hebrew, right? And that's how he thought you write it, then you should tell him it's a mistake, and you should write it the other way. But if the guy's been writing like that, he's a lomdish amoritz. In other words, he always signs his name in Hebrew to things, but he always signs it wrong. Then be a shiloh by me what you should, if you tell him to sign or not. That became his signature.
That's him. My wife, her name is Shane, a Yiddish name, and the Rav called, Karna. So tell him to spell it in Hebrew. It was different spelling, so it's not even the way she spells it to write in the ksuva.
Right. No, none of the things are pashut. And most of them have to do with Shemus and Gittin. And I'll just tell you some of the cases where, not with regular names, sometimes people have names that Bechlal you never heard of, or nobody ever heard of. And inshallah, how to write them, or if to write them, or if that's really their name, or they're making a toast.
The last names, a lot of times.
Last names depends. Rav Moshe holds you should write last names in the shtar. Right. Because Rav Moshe holds with Zman Azeh, every city is Hugs, it could be Shnei Yosef and Shimon. Because regular Hebrew names, there's millions of people in the city, thousands of people in the city. So Rav Moshe holds that the way to the Simon is a last name. That's the normal thing. I can't say, except for Rav Moshe's Talmidim, right, that people are makbid on that. I've never written the last name in any shtar. Okay, I don't know if that's why I didn't do it, but I know my shivas don't do it either. But Rav Moshe holds you should write last names. Okay, Lemaisa, and they write Lemishpachat so and so. You don't write just Yosef and Shimon Friedman, Shimon Lemishpachat Friedman.
Tanaim
for sure. It doesn't make a difference what you write in Tanaim too much.
If someone adds like professor,
the English ksuba. What's it called? I mean, the person mamash a professor, he wants to put in Hachosan, Hassan Dinan, professor, so and so. Oh, you mean, or the aide, right? Yeah, professor. Yeah, exactly. That doesn't make a difference. Have a rabbi. That's where he normally signs his name.
The guy that begins his Hebrew name since he was born, and he's always done by his English name, so which name did he put in?
He doesn't get aliyahs ever?
No,
it's not. Right. He's not, it doesn't sound like it could be kosher aid.
Oh,
you mean the father in the ksuba? And the guy never uses that name. So nobody ever uses that name, Bechlau. It's Shem Shinishtakach. I'm not sure 100%. I'll tell you the truth, I never got involved in Gittin. And if I ever had a shayla on a ksuba like that, I asked somebody who's involved in Gittin.
Is the comp
or ksuba
the same?
Just about the same. It's not as machmir, but it's just about the same.
Because, so the
you write the English.
The English,
yeah. Dachtach, that's what it is. But it's, in most cases, it's the same thing as Gittin. It's not as chomer as Gittin, but it's the same thing as Gittin. Okay. Okay, now, the ksuba itself, you fill in before. However, there are two different minhagim when to sign the ksuba. Well, there's more than two different, what's it called, the minhagim. Some are makabel kinyan on the ksuba, and memela right the konina and the edim sign by the tnoi. In other words, before you go to the chuppah, okay, before the badek. That is the minig in most places in America. Yeshiva Shevelt in America, I never saw them sign a ksuba under the chuppah. Like, in tells, I never saw them, right? The first time I came to Eretz Israel, that's where they made where the Edom sign under the chuppah, right after they read the ksuba. That's the second minute. That you the Edom sign, mamash, you get to the word v'konina, you sign, you write v'konina, then you mekabel kinyan. I mean mekabel kinyan, you sign the v'konina, and then the Edom sign. Mamash under the chuppah, right after Birchas Erusin already, right before Birchas Nasuin, right before Sheva Brachas, under the chuppah. There's a third minig which I never saw, and that is after Birchas Nasuin, after Sheva Brachas completely, under the chuppah, right? The last thing they what's it called? They sign the ksuba and give it over.
After reading the ksuba.
After reading the ksuba, right?
So they didn't sign the mini brachas
about Pasha's not. She'd still be in the sua. It's just that she'd be kala below bracha. She'd be also to live with her husband until he writes her ksuba.
No, I mean he's like a kinyan.
No, in the end, if he never ended up making a Kenyan. No, it's still when he broke his Avatala. And the Suwan is in the Suwan, just doesn't have a Ksuba, she can't live with her husband.
Sign before the Chuppah, I'm sorry, at what point
after? Right after Birchus Erisin, before you start Birchus Nasuin. We'll get to the Seder of this Chuppah. Yes. After Birchus Erisin, after he gives her the ring, before they start the Nasuin part, which is Sheva Chuppah. That's after the Chuppah.
No, I said before the Chuppah. You said there's a minute to sign before
the Chuppah. Yeah, before you go to the Chuppah. The whole ksuba should be ready, finished, signed with Aiden before you go to the chuppah. That's the minig. Most places I've ever, any yeshiva shachasna was in America, I never saw them do anything.
The kinyan is written in.
And the kinyan is written then. They make the kinyan then. They made the kinyan then.
On before the chuppah.
Before the chuppah.
Who did?
Again, it was three possibilities. One is you're in the chosn's room, okay? Cakes on the table, right? And you have the ksuba. You call the Aiden. You makabel kinyan from the chosan. You write the word bekanina. They sign it. Finished. Nothing else to do with edik ksuba. You have a ksuba finished, and now when you go down to the chuppah, the chosan's or the what's it called, the shushbin is carrying the ksuba. He gives it over to the person to read it. He reads it. Reads the names of the edim already. Nobody has to do anything under the chuppah. It's all pre-finished. That's a minig in America is for sure like that. Okay, it's probably the best way to do it unless there's a minig amakom. I'll tell you why. Because it's better to have problems that you can find out before you go to the chuppah than under the chuppah. Right? Start having problems under the chuppah. Wasn't signed right. Even then, sometimes, I've been in the Korea Ksuba, by chassis, I was not in Asada Kedushin, where in the middle of reading the Ksuba, I realized that the guy just filled it out wrong. Or he left something out. Or he put the wrong date. Or he, what's it called, and then it's a problem, right? Usually what I did was finish the whole thing, right? And right after the chuppah, point out to the guy that we better write another ksuba. But not to stop in the middle of the whole thing and say, 1 second, let's write another ksuba now and hold up the whole thing. You don't have to hold up the thing. If I have a haraya, there's even a minig not to write the ksuba b'chlau and to sign it until after the nesuin. So, but it's better to know what you're doing. Okay, another thing to know. All right, let me, some things with names. First of all, you have to know what the matzav of the kala is, how much money to put in the ksuba. Okay? What's it called? Whether she's a ba'ula, she's a psula, right? An almona, grusha, gioris. All of those things should be written in the ksuba the way that they're supposed to. You look up in Nachal Shiver and any of the things that I tell you, I read Shtar. However, the person who reads the ksuba doesn't have to read it the way that it's written. You can read it in such a way that nobody has to know all the gory details of what exactly the kala is or isn't. That's one thing. There are different shilas. It's not really nogea every time or whatever, and these kinds of things should ask each time. For instance, bulas atzmo, right? Somebody lived with the kala beforehand, right? And so really, she only should get meya. Right, but Rav Moshe has tshuvas that in certain cases, what's it called? She's entitled to masayim. Write masayim, and you can even write besula in the ksuba itself. Not just read it like that, but write it like that. Since lachora, since he was planning to marry her, he's meshavet himself from the first time. He was makabel already as a besula. So, huh?
All right.
Okay.
I mean, the point is that might not have been his intention.
It could be. Rav Moshe's people are specific. That's why I said it's better to ask in each case. Most of them are specific.
Ask the question, the clause, right? If she's not married before, she just write a psula and then...
No, it's not better. Because it could be a mekachtos.
But you have to ask her.
L'chora, the chosn should know.
You can ask her?
Well, ask him or ask her? Yeah, not on the day of the chuppah. That should be what's it called beforehand. That's important. I'm not saying that when you make the shidduch, right, that should be one of the first information that's given. But before you finish the shidduch off, before the chuppah, the chosn should know. The kalas, a lot of times came to me and asked me at the mechuyev to tell the chosn or whatever, especially bali tshuva, right? And people get married later. Right, who are bali tshuva. So there's a lot of situations that, and you mechuyev to tell. It's mamash. Those are the case. Mamash mekav toes. We hold kedushas.
But nowadays, some girls 30 get married bali tshuva. You don't say.
You mean there's a chazaka the other way?
Chazaka.
I wouldn't want to give such a chazaka to the Bnei Yisrael. Right, to say it has to be like that. Rav
Moshe says even not bulas atzmo. Rav Moshe in the tshuva is addressing a situation where a woman became a balas tshuva and wanted to know if she had to tell her prospective chasanim, that is when she was dating, about her past.
Right.
And Rav Moshe said she doesn't have to tell him until they're very serious.
Okay.
And obviously, if they go through with it, so then they can write even basula and masayim, even though it's not bulas atzmo. That's the only matter.
You sure?
I'm quite certain.
I don't think so. That's kemat not shaya. It's not bulas atzmo. Because Moshe writes in the other tshuva, svaras that only apply to bulas atzmo. There's meshaber and stuff, mishua rishona. I'll take a look.
The last one.
That's
the newest. The one came out in
82. And Ibn Ezra, the last volume of Ibn Ezra?
Yeah, not the most recent one, the sixth one.
I have to take a look. I did not remember seeing such a tshuva.
What about mistake? If you find a mistake and you have to sign the 18 another time, about what you were talking about, the mistake of Tari or something
there. Right, you have to write another shtar.
And can it make another kinyan? Or
and make another kinyan. Even though that's not so bored, you have to make another kinyan, but you make another kinyan. Okay, now the questions come up in amounts. There, each case, you have to see what the case is. The questions that come up are people who are adopted, or they're a girl or man who is the son of a goy and a Jew, Jewish. So he's Jewish, but he can't write, you know, Ben Jack or Christopher or something like that in the shtar, right? And besides, there's in yachas, there's no yachas for the goy. So he's not really the ben of that guy anyway. So what do you write in those kind of cases? So let's start with the guy who's adopted. There's two possibilities. Either he's adopted from Jewish parents, okay, or he's adopted from Goyish parents and he's converted. If he's converted and adopted, then Pasha should write Ben Avraham Avinu like any ger. Okay? Now, if the parents...
Avinu, you can write Avraham without Avinu.
Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu. They should know he's a ger. If the people don't want that, you know, they want to use their names or whatever, then you can write the following. So there's some sheet that holds, you can write the Shem HaMa'ametz just normal. In other words, since I'm a gadol, is what's it called, the yosom b'sof vesos kiliyoldo, that mamash literally you can write what's it called, the name of the megadol as ben so and so. Okay, but it's better not to do that. What's better to do is one of the two things following. And you don't want to write Ben Avram Avinu, Stam, because you want to hear the parents that brought up the child. They want to have their name on the ksuba too. So you can write the following. Just write his name, right? The Miskari, who's also called Ploni Ben Ploni. So that means that's his nickname. He's not Ploni Ben Ploni, right? He's, let's say the kid's name is Reuven, okay? His name is Reuven, and the father's name, the adopted father, okay, the father who adopted him is Shimon. So you don't write Reuven ben Shimon, because he's not Reuven ben Shimon. Okay? He's really Reuven ben Avraham Avinu. He's a ger.
You write first something.
But you can write, no. You can write Reuven, the Miskari, Reuven ben Shimon. The Miskari means he's called. The Karim Otam. The Miskari, Dalad Mem Tov Kufrei Shud.
Dalad Mem.
Right. Dalad Mem Tov Kufrei Shud. Shenikra. In Hebrew, it's Shenikra. Who's also called, so that's his nickname. His nickname is Reuven ben Shimon. That's what people call him, because the Maaseh, the Ma'amates brought him up. But that's not his mamish's name. His name is Reuven.
Adopted.
Okay, that's if he's adopted. Now, if he's adopted a Jewish child, you know who the father, real father is, Pasha should write the name of the real father. In other words, if he's Reuven ben Levi, who happened to be adopted by Shimon, he should write Reuven ben Levi. Or, if, for some reason, the parents are tremendously machbid, or they don't know who the original father's name was, which is also very possible, then you should write to do the same thing. Reuven, the Miskari, Reuven ben Shimon.
For an Aliyah, they do the same. How do they do it for an Aliyah?
Aliyah is easier. Aliyah, there are many people who hold you can do one of three other things. Call him up by his mother's name. Okay? If it's a name that is clearly female. If it's a name like Simcha, then it's not, because you may think that Simcha was the father. You can call him up by the mother's father's name. Right? If he's a Shtuki, that's basically a Sufi Shtuki, where we don't know who the father is, or the father was a Goy. You can call him by the grandfather, maternal grandfather's name.
You still say Ben.
Right. Call him by Aliyah, that's the second Eitzah that the Shulchan Aruch said. Or you can use these eitzes too. You don't call Miskari, or you can call him Mamish, the name of the parent who brought him up. Or Ben Avraham Avinu. Those are all the hatzos. When it comes to Aliyahs, it's not too much of a pay. The only problem is if you start doing something by an Aliyah, then it comes to shtaros, it becomes a problem of what you're writing one thing in a shtar and something else in the Aliyah. But for Aliyah, it's not such a terrible thing.
Aliyahs
don't say Avinu. But in a shtar, it's the word on sale to write out.
Are you mechayev to check up on their names? If they say that they think their name is such and such?
If they say they think, you should check. If they say they're sure, you have to check.
How can you check?
How can you check? You can either ask other people there. If you have time ahead of time, you can go to a Beis HaKvaros. You can look at the matzevas and see where they were buried. If the people were buried in Europe somewhere or whatever.
Maybe they're not dead, but they're lost somewhere. They don't know where they are.
It's probably, you can be boldik then ad mokum shiyodo magas, and if not, the name that they use now, that's the name. And whatever, if they're not sure about the father's name, and they're really a big sophic, then I don't know, then maybe you should also write, I don't know what the halach is by gittin. I'm not sure if gittin is very chomer in these kind of cases. I don't know what they do by gittin. They may do with this to miskari. They write just his name, and the nickname, what they've been calling it, right, what they've been calling the nickname is this. Even if, in other words, my name is Reuven ben Shimon, right? But I always like to be called Levi ben Yisrael, right? So you can write Reuven ben Shimon, the Miskari, Levi ben Yisrael. That's the name, the guy who does no worse than an English name, right? I happen to go by this alias. I have this alias, right? So it's an alias. It's no worse than that.
But
right?
Didn't they always put in the aliases?
Right. Yeah, for sure. In Ksuba, you don't have to write aliases. Unless, sometimes you do write the Miskari in Ksuba, if the name, the Chalal was never used. Now, if a girl was given a name, it's usually the girl who has this problem. She's given a name when she was born, and she can't stand the name. She never uses that. Or it was a Yiddish name, and she went to Hebrew school, and they told her, no, you're not anymore a Razel, you're Tzipora. Right? So then it could be, if some people still call her Razel, but most people call her Tzipora, then it could be a three both names. Or she has a name that is not really a name. So people call her Sorke, or some kind of sorry or something like that, and it's not really the name. Her name is really Sora, right? So her, if you ask her parents what the name they gave, it was Sora. Right? But the Maisa, the nickname is used, if not more, at least as much as the other one, then sometimes they write both names.
Should the Rav try to be machmir in this? That if he knows that the girl or even the guy has a nickname,
yeah.
Should he like
for a kedusha? No, for ksuba.
Only yeah.
And a get, and a get, it's important. And a ksuba, it's not that important. Ksuba is a shtar moment. It's not that important.
Do you read the whole ksuba out of the
pulpit? Yeah, you should read the whole ksuba.
The lot of rabbanim, they still have the into, and then they say the name of the edim, and the lid is tamtzit.
Okay, I'll tell you where they do that. The truth is, the only reason you read the ksub under the chuppah, right, is really the Eidim have to know what they're signing, and the chassan has to know his makabel kinyan. So if you do it all before, all of that had to be done before. The only reason you read the ksubah under the chuppah is to make a heftik between birchas erusin and birchas nisuin. That's all. So if that's the only reason you're doing it, you could read, you know, the New York Times under there too. And say it's the ksubah. Right, if you want to, you have people who don't know the cloud what's going on, right? They can listen to 10 minutes of Aramaic and they have no idea what it is. You can read a little bit of the ksuba in English, too, if it serves that purpose. But for those people who write the ksuba under the chuppah and the Edom haven't heard it yet and the chassan doesn't know what it is, then they need to read it. And then if they don't know what you're talking about, right, we're not talking about yeshiva shechassana, neither the chassan has any idea what you're reading, right? He thinks maybe it's the New York Times or the what's it called or the Edom, then you have to explain it to them under the chuppah. So in that case, you can't read an abridged version. Also, where they read the abridged version is usually by the Yerushalmi ksubas, which are twice as long as a regular ksuba anyway. You have a million things in it. I know when Rosh Hashiva was here, Rav Gifter, he used to cross out all the extra stuff in the Yerushalmi ksuba. I know once he was at a chassan with Rav Weiss, I think they had a big machlokas whether you're supposed to cross it out or not. Right, so it takes care of everything. That's our nusach ksuba. So Yerushalmi ksuba, I don't even know how to read it to tell you the truth with all the abbreviations. One day I'm going to find out what some of them mean. Most of them I have an idea, but one or two there I have no idea what they are. So most people could not read that ksuba, especially Shivisha people who are used to other ksubas, couldn't read that ksuba if you gave it to them. So they skip all that part. That's basically Havila into, right? And a little bit past that, and then they skip the whole thing, and then they pick it up where a real ksuba would finish. That's why they skip it, pretty much. And I'm telling you, some don't even fill it in. And if they fill it in, they just put kimuskum, kenohuk, kenohuk, or something like that. That makes, right, hamaduber, right, which means absolutely nothing. Right, what can you do? We went to Beis Din, right? It says in the shtar hamaduber. What's about duber? You made them on it. What are you going to go with? Right? Have a shtar that says, Reuven owes me hamaduber. Somebody wants to write a shtar, we'll get some low money from you. So it's worth it. It's enough to cross it out. I mean, I'm sure that's my Rosh Hashiva crossed it out, right? Or to put a line there, which means that they're basically nothing.
So is it problematic to write one thing into the ksuba and then to the reader to read something else?
No, because if you're only reading it to make a hefsek, there's no problem. If you're reading it that the Edom should know what's in it, then it's a problem. Oh, you mean? But mean these names and things? No.
Even the guys as well.
Yeah.
That would be a problem then.
Right. No, even not, because the Edom don't have to know. The Edom have to just know what the skum is. Okay, you can't read Mosayim when it says Meya. That not. But not to read Avraham Avinu where it says Avinu, or not to say what's it called Beul Todah, right? Just to say Ishazos, to write it in the Ksuba Itzazu, right? And not Beul Tazu, which is the Lashon is by Meya Kashayla. I was recently at a chasana where I heard them read Itza. I was curious. I wanted to see if they wrote Itza in the ksuba. I never checked because that's not so posh. The ksuba has to be mavur. What? Armalta, giurta, biulta. There's lashons. Have to be written in the ksuba. It has to be a shtar mavur that's emes. And it's also for later on, right? This thing could be used as rayas. What you did write, what you didn't write. Right, a basin picks up a ksuba. A lot of times, ksubas are used for next generation, for whatever. And it shouldn't be something available what comes later. Bein l'chumra, bein l'kula. Okay, then, after this is... finished the ksuba, another thing you should know is that if you want to make cross-outs in the ksuba, anywhere, right, you have to be mekayim, those mechokim, at the end of the shtar. Okay, exactly how to do that means that the second to the last line of the shtar, in other words, the shtar ends Hakol Shor V'Kayim, right? That's the last line of the shtar. Okay. If you cross something out in the ksuba for whatever reason, okay, you have to, after Hakol Shor V'Kayim, right? V'Kiyamnu Es HaMechokim B'Shura Aleph, what's it called? Mechak Echad, or if it is two, right? In other words, we have affirmed that there were cross-outs that the Edim saw before they signed, so-and-so. Otherwise, how do you know that they weren't crossed out after the Edim signed? And you change the shtar. That has to be after the, what's it called, well, at the end of the shtar, you write a line saying exactly where the mechak is, then you write V'Hakol Shor V'Kayim again, because the last line of a shtar you never learn from. It always has to be the second line of the second to the last line of the shtar that has anything conclusive to it. Because Ein Lemeidim Mishura Tachtona, because you're always afraid you could add a last line in above the Edim and be Mizayif something. So the last line is never, that's why we put HaKol Shor V'Kayim in the last line. Right? The last line of a Ksuba is always nothing new. It's HaKol Shor V'Kayim, finish. That's the last line. So the line before that is the last line you could learn anything important from. So therefore, if you're going to write a new line, you have to put again HaKol Shor V'Kayim at the end, and then the Edim sign on that, and then they sign on the whole shtar.
What?
B'shura kach v'kach, and there's more than one on the shura, right? Second word, fifth word. It should be clear where the mechak is.
We're talking about the printed words that are inside you.
Yeah, because for various reasons. No, you, or even not the printed words. You made a mistake in the name.
You have to do that. You make a mistake, then you can cross it out.
And write again, yeah.
Should I do not make this?
Yeah, you can write it. The lashon is v'kiyamnu es hamechokim. Dilahalon, something like that, and then Mimifaritim. No, it's not Mark. You can write in Chinese if you don't understand Chinese. I mean, it's none of these things are Mark. It's not. There's no halacha v'onu v'omru of Lashon HaKodesh or in Aramaic. Yeah.
So we have this. We have the standard ksuba, and they sign.
Right.
Then after that, we wrote in a line. So and so, there's a cross out there, a cross out here.
Right.
We're adding the extra line.
Or no, you can do it right before the Edom signed too. You can write it at the end of the ksuba. Right, if you don't do that, the Edom signed already, and then you had to erase something or whatever. Then after the Edom signed, you write that line, HaKol Shor V'Kayim, and the Edom signed again.
Right. But no.
You're talking about we put a line through the word,
or
we actually erase the word?
Either way. We put a line through the word, it's like it's not there.
Wait.
Erase? Yeah, even erase.
You can
erase and write over. If it's, yeah, if it's nicker that's erasure, that could be even worse. Yeah. Yeah. It's better to put a line through it where you can see that it was something erased, and then. But if not, then you can see there was an erasure, you put the kiyam.
Signature is always the last thing?
Huh?
Signature
is always the last thing. Also, another good thing to do is a lot of these ksubas leave a lot of border around where you could add in a whole other ksuba or a lot of zeros if you wanted to also, right? And that's also a shtar that could be, you could be mezayif it. So my minig is, and I know a lot of people like that, wherever there's an empty space on a line that could be written, and not the whole border, you don't have to kill the whole ksuba. So, you know, spend $100, you start drawing lines all over the ksuba. Usually these printed ksuba is the problem. The other ones, they're pretty much makbid to make the border pretty close to where the letters are. But the printed ksubas, for some reason, right, they're expecting people with names like, Lemishbich Hoseim three times in the, you know, Achashdar Panim B'nei Aramochim. Usually there's so much Dayo Vahos that you could write the four generations of the family in the lines that they give you. They put on two lines yet, too. So there, what usually is, you write the name all on one line, and the second line says, Mamash, an extra piece in the shtar, there you should put a line through.
And
so you can't write anything there. Then you can't write anything. No, just put a line. No, you don't put anything else. And that's not an erasure. It's just a fancy. It's an art, part of the artwork of the ksuba. You can make it look like artwork. The ksuba is even nicer, but.
Where do you buy ksuba?
In the States, in any bookstore. Any bookstore.
Right in the script, it doesn't matter that it's half of the assurance
and half of the.
These ksubas that are purchased are generally can fit in for extra.
No. There are certain ksubas that everything is written in except for the names. If you have a ksuba of a chasana where you have to, it's not the standard,
right?
Besulta do, then you have to buy a ksuba that leaves a lot more spaces. There are ksubas like that. Personally, I always use those ksubas, the ones that you have the extra spaces.
And just fill it in.
Just fill it in, yeah. Because you never know what's going to be. Yeah, so they're used better to use those. They're much more, they're more, they're written better anyway, those. Okay, next thing. The actual going down to the chuppah, yeah?
You cross out the sulta da and write in what?
Ulta da? If you had those kind of ksubas, yeah. That's why it doesn't look very nice. What? Right.
What would you write?
I would have to write that. If I didn't have that ksuba, then write the ulta da. It depends what it is, what she is. Either we know. Our malta, she's an almona, you write almalta. Just a ba'ula. She was not somebody else's. Yeah, then she was a, or a grusha is misar chayso. Usually, if she's a ba'ula, she's one of either misar chayso or a malta. Usually. If not, then you could write itzadu. So. Then it's clear that she's not a basula, otherwise you read basulta. You don't have to write ba'ula. I think I wrote ba'ula. No, not. It's either a marsla or a misar chayso. I don't know what one's a grusha, one's an amona. And, It's okay if she's not in neither of those, and she's not a Gioris. A Gioris has like Yurta. Okay, now going down to the chuppah itself. Here there are different minhagim, and really it should be k'minig hamakom. By Shivish Shachasanis, not by Hungarians and not by Chassidim, usually the chassan goes down with his parents and the kala goes down with her parents. Okay? In the Litvish yeshivas, that was the minig up until now, people getting more frum. But that was minig for quite a while, especially in America. Litvish yeshivas in America, for sure, that's the minig. The father and mother walk their child out. However, in Chassidish shechasanis, and in yeshiva shechasanis, I think here in Eretz Yisrael, I haven't seen anybody, any place in Eretz Yisrael where a father and mother walk down with their child. It's the fathers walk the chassan and the mothers walk the kala. Okay, in America, that by yeshiva, even by yeshiva shechassan, and certainly by balabata shechassan, is that's unheard of. And therefore, I wouldn't make any big deal about telling a parent that they can't walk together with their chassan or kala. Right? That you have to walk together with the other guy's father or whatever. That for sure is not mekubal by the balabata shechassan. And there's no infinite. The chassan always goes first. Chassan always goes first. That's minig Israel. The chassan goes first, and there's reason for it.
Is it better that...
Because like Mamed Har Sinai, besides that, the chassan, by Svardim, I think, or by Yekis too, the chassan comes to meet the kala. Because it's marzer al
alavidoso. Is it better that father, or is it...
Is it better...
Maybe you're saying that you shouldn't try to...
I don't think it's better. If it's minig amokum like that, then it's a shayla if somebody wants to do the other way. If it's not minig amokum,
it doesn't make any difference.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
There's no father on one side.
What does make a difference is there is no father on one side. Or the parents are not a couple, they're divorced.
Right.
Then it's a big shayla what you do. Because the best thing is, it says for the shushbinim, al simen tov, and this is brought down, the mindset. It's not just stam, you know, somebody's hashoras. It is brought down in Sifri Alocha. The shushbinim should be a couple, and not just half a couple. In other words, a mother and an older brother shouldn't be.
Right.
What?
You have parents walking.
In other words, should be the people. If not the parents walking down, if the people walk down should be themselves a couple. In other words, they're not walking together, but the two men who are walking should be the spouses of the two women who are walking.
And if not,
okay. In other words, you shouldn't have a man and two men walking with the chassan who have nothing to do with the two women who are walking with the kala. Okay, that you shouldn't have.
What do you do?
That's if you can get other people to walk them down. Friends, whatever.
Oh, you do completely.
Not the parents. It's not so. In other words, or you can let the mother walk down. Let's say you have a mother, right, and the father rachmanos of nifta. Okay, so now the mother can't walk her daughter down to the chuppah. Because she's not, she doesn't have a ben zug. So in those kind of cases, what's usually done is that you get another shushbin to walk down the kala in place of the mother, and the mother walks along also.
And she also stands under the chuppah.
Right, and she stands under the chuppah too. There's no issue standing under the chuppah, that's for sure. See, these things are not, can't say they're halacha based on mamash. They're mostly in svarim that, you know, that's simintov, that's what was nohu, what was... There's no, you can't find anywhere the Feirush, you know, these kind of things, the Halacha L'Mais and Rishonim or whatever, you know, in Kiddushin. It's basically what was Nahug over the Doros. But there are tshuvas about these things. So it's shver to say, you know, you just can ignore and do whatever you want. That's shver to say that. Even though there's no Makor in Halacha, you need Shushbinim. That's it. But to say how the Shushbinim should, who they should be, how, yes, Zuk is that. So it's shver to say that these things are Halacha L'Moshe Misina, that, you know, they're even Halacha. But since they're Minhagim, it's shver to go against the Minhagim also. Even though it a lot of times causes a lot of not nice feelings.
So what about a situation where you have, let's talk about an extreme case, which is not so uncommon, of two of the chassan and the kala both have parents who are divorced, and they're normally married. So you have eight parents. So seriously,
no, the minig used to be that a whole group of women would walk after the kala, and a whole group of men would walk after the chassan. Here you could have that easily. It could be doing do like that, and yet the people who mamash walk him down side by side should be friends. And they could walk behind. I don't know. Again, it depends what's modern. It depends how sensitive people are to what's going on. You know, and how much, you know, it could be a bush on the one hand, it could be a simcha on the other hand. I don't know exactly. I don't know.
But halacha says their problems, whatever they would want. They also have their problems.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, but then, let's say they say, you know what I want? I had a case like this. I wasn't the Masada Kedushin, but it was somebody in my Kehillah who was the divorcee. It was a parent. I'm holding ready by that. The parents are the ones that I'm sure I was Chosn and Kala. The sort of parents, what's it called, were divorced. Okay? Now, the child was getting married. Both were remarried. But the spouse weren't going to be by the Chasna, only the two divorced parents. So Shaila is now, and they really wanted to walk down together. They weren't going to walk down together. The two mothers would walk, and two fathers would walk. So it wasn't the father and mother who were divorced to walk down. So they had to tell them that, you know, it's not Nohub like that. It's Shver. The Maisa here is the Maisa. Both of them were parents of the at least the mother was the mother of the Kala. So she wanted to walk with her daughter, right? And it didn't bother her, her ex-husband was walking with the chosin. He didn't know the chosin from beans. It wasn't, but it was his daughter's chosin. I don't know.
What happened?
I told him to ask somebody in New York. Since that's what a chosin was. And I was here. I don't know. After looking through it, I could see reason to say that they could do it like that. But since there were people who said the minig wasn't like that, I didn't want to pass a kinegim and hog him, even if I didn't know what a shroshim were than hog him. Okay, in any case, the minig is to go down with candles lit, just like a Zecher L'mayim at Har Sinai, which is also like a chasana. Now, there are other minhagim also, that it depends how yeshivish the chasana is. But by everybody can do this. There's a minig, which I haven't seen done too much, and I saw brought down that we're not knowing like that anymore, but I know by yeshivish the chasana they are knowing. But Eifer b'makom tefillin of the chasana. You know, in the Sfarim it says we're not knowing like that anymore because the Shviras HaKos takes the place of that. Zecher L'Churban. You take some ashes and you put them on the Makom Tefillin of the Chosin. Also, the Chosin should have jewelry on. Take off cufflinks or anything that's tied. Shoes should be untied. Necktie should be untied, not with a knot. All of that is out Ayin Hara that not tied knots are a bad mazel. Okay, why exactly, and why it's not Darkei Yoyim Mori, I'm not 100% sure. But Lamaisa, it's a Minig Yisrael. To untie the tie, to untie shoelaces. Just make sure the guy doesn't trip on the way to the chuppah.
Untie tie means
undo the knot, and then just put it over, so it's not a knot.
Usually just do like very yeshivish, you know, undone.
But in Israel, there should be no problem.
like a regular tie.
Right. I'm sure there's no halachas about how your tie has to be, because people didn't wear ties, bigger. But in any case, should be Afer, Mokum Te'er, Mokum Tefillin, and that basically are the Minhagim. And a kittel, I'll get to. And a kittel. Now kittel, some people wear the kittel mamish put it under the chuppah, right, on, where that's what they're wearing. Others put the kittel under a coat. Now, most of the time people wear suits to a chasana, but by some chasana they don't wear suits. So then there's no coat to put the kittel under. the depends what, you know, what the. So by a balabata shechasana, if they never had such a meaning to wear a kittel or whatever, and the guy's wearing a tuxedo that he spent who knows how much money on, now you tell him you have to put a kittel over the tuxedo or a kittel under the tuxedo, and the people are going out of their mind. You know, the kittel is not ma'akev, and it would not something you should make a big deal about.
Did you not explain to us one time about wearing the kittel underneath? Is that your one?
I don't know.
Moshmu's about the dafka should be underneath.
That's why you cover it. Yeah, that's the reason why it's underneath. But some people wear dafka outside, and because it's not a there's a shaila by Pesach. Pesach, why you wear a kittel? So for the time that it's zeichel amisa, some hold it's lohoyev lo nivra. How could you have it in yontif for zeichel amisa? It's not like that at all. It's what's it called? It's either a big day yontif, and what's it called? Bigodim levonim, or what's it called? A simon of becholesu begodecha levonim, right? Al tahara. So there's some, well, that's the reason. So that's the reason you don't have to cover it up. Just the opposite. To be in Tahara, they love it. If it's Al Seichel Amisa, you don't want to make the chasen. If it's, you know, what's it called? A guy goes on Tachrichim to his chuppah, right? So you want to wear it underneath.
So I have to have two of them. One that's actually going
to
be...
On the outside, one on the inside.
Excellent
idea. No.
It's enough problems with one of them.
I'm saying in general. In other words, I mean,
I don't know. Because the Misa, the kittel has both in Yonim. So therefore,
that
whatever.
Symbolize the Misa. You don't use that one.
Okay, then comes the, what's it called? Again, we said with the chosen goes down first, and there's a Baruch Haba that you say for the chosen. Baruch Haba, just Baruch Haba. Then the, what's it called, and all different scholars, this is for sure not Makif. And then there's the, what's it called, then the Kala comes, right? Now, if there are people who come in between, at some chasen, especially by more secular chasenes, there's ushers and best men and all these zachen. Right? Since in the halacha there is such a thing as a shushbin, right? So as much as you want to make it a shushbin or flower girls, it's not dafka goyish a thing. If people want to have it, I wouldn't tell them, you know, how to be makbid, what kind of shurim you need for the flowers or whatever, but I wouldn't make a big deal about it. It's not chukas ha'akum. And it's together shushbinim, the more they used to have, hordes of people walking down. So you can do that also. It's not. I wouldn't say it's also to do. If it's not also to do, then there's no reason to get involved.
It's a way of being Machabit's family too.
Yeah, get old. Everybody walked out. Just as long as the Chosn Kala get there, is there good.
You're walking between the Chosn Kala
before, after. Let the guy who's wearing the catering hall worry about it. Don't get involved in it for Chalal. We'll start to come to ask Shilas who should go first and what. Just tell them, you know, whatever you want, just do. Just make sure the Kala gets there last, and the Chosn gets there first, and whatever happens in the middle is your business.
To what extent does the rabbi have to be concerned with the how the people address, the women especially?
He has to be concerned that he has to be able to make a bracha.
He can close his eyes or look somewhere else.
Close your eyes doesn't help if you're looking in that direction.
I'm saying, look,
turn your back.
It depends what it is. I mean, if it's just hair or something.
No, hair is no problem.
They close your eyes. But
hair is not even a problem. You don't have to close your eyes. I'm saying the Maisa because what you don't know, broke is my heart. Right? So you have to see what's going on. Right, you're gonna have to give the Kala to drink. You have to hand over the thing and whatever.
Usually,
it is, I'm
the rabbi faces the other way. In any case, so I don't think the
no. Usually, the rabbi faces the Chosn Kala.
And well, I hope the Kala is well dressed. It's also not certain.
That's not certain. They you turn another direction is not a problem. Sometimes, if it's a real problem, you can ask somebody to put on a sweater. I know Rabbanim who brought sweaters with them or shawls. Sure, that's a fire. Usually, if you speak to the family, you can tell them beforehand that, you know, they should try, at least for the chuppah, if they're not going to come dressed properly, just have a shawl. That's usually what the problem is. Now the Kala comes last. Okay, in some minhagim, the chosn goes to meet the Kala. In our minhag, the chosn just stays where he is. The Kala makes 7 sibuvim, and that's important that somebody should be counting. Right? Usually, everybody thinks somebody else is counting, and that could go on forever. So the Rav should keep a count of 7 sibuvim. And again, in Balabata Shechasanas, right, they never heard of that. They don't do it. And it's not Ma'akiv. Right, I remember once.
7 times?
Yeah, 7 times. I'll end with this. It's true Maisa, I promise you. I once had a chasana of Balabatim, who Mamash never saw a real chasana, not the people who were there, not the people who were getting married. But I was mocked with, you should do everything kamina. I told him, listen, you want to have a chasana the real way? says, yes, well, what do they care? So he made the seven sibuvim, everything mamish, you know, just as if it would be shiva shechasana. After the chasana, a woman came over to me, look, one of the guests, so I have to speak to you immediately. Okay, emergency. What was the emergency? She said, I noticed all the things and all the thing. I said, but my wedding, I didn't walk seven times around my husband. Could you come now and watch me walk around him seven times? I feel like I'm living in sin. See? So I told her, I don't know what to do. Should I watch a woman walk seven times around her husband? I figured, forget it. You know, I'm not going to do that. I told her, I said, you've probably been running circles around him for the last 20 years. It's okay. I explained to her that wasn't an ikuv in the Maisa Kedushin. But you could see what. Then she asked me seriously. So when you get divorced, you walk the other way. She's really serious though. She wasn't making fun. She liked the it hit the woman that there was something wrong about her wedding, right? And she felt now she's 20 years married and she's hasn't been married legally. So now she had a chance to get a rabbi to finish off the thing legally. She was going to take advantage of it. Okay, so with all of this, you have to be ready for that too. Okay. Yeah, believe that I'll do it for next time.